You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, joined now by the third member of the Cleveland Browns Daily family on the hotline, the one and only Gerard Cherry. Gerard, what's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, man?
Gerard, so I want to, now that you've had a few days to digest this and go through and make, perhaps do some evaluation on your own, you still stand by the fact that you think Joe Flacco is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
We're not still talking about that, are
we? Oh, we've been talking about it all week.
He won't let it go. He won't let it go.
No,
I've moved on because I know I'm right, but he won't let it go.
Well, because it's ridiculous.
Well, you know what's crazy about it, Nathan? It took on such a fanfare and topic that even people on a station were talking about how ridiculous it sounded for the idea of him not to be in a top 15. Now, top 10, I would make the argument to my top 5. But I hear you, dog. I had to protect your back on a couple occasions where people were kind of getting sideways on you. So I want you to know.
I did come back and say he was top 15. The thing that I thought was the craziest out of all of these things, and now I'll get your opinion on this. If you're drafting quarterbacks to be the face of your franchise, and Andrew Luck and Joe Flacco are on the clock, who are you drafting?
Knowing what I know now.
Knowing what you know now about both of them.
I have to go Flacco.
You guys are out of your mind, exactly. And you guys would be out of the NFL in a hurry.
No way!
You guys are crazy.
Yes, that's right.
You guys are
crazy. What an awful pick that would be to have a guy who gets you to playoffs every year, who's a super, one drop pass away from one Super Bowl and one MVP the following year.
It's okay.
You're in fantasy land because this is a fantasy discussion.
I've talked to three of the people who have offices back there in this building, and not one of them talked to one of them too,
and he thought you were crazy.
That would take Flacco over Luck? Not a single person back there would.
Take Flacco from when? From now versus?
Whenever.
Okay.
Whenever you want.
See, Nate, when I asked you, based upon what we know, that was the clincher for me. Because we know what Flacco has done and what he's capable of doing. Obviously, with Luck, the ceiling is much higher. I agree with you in that regard. Because of the fact that he's not a stationary, in-the-pocket quarterback. He can do multiple things. He can beat you with his mind, his arm, his feet. And probably a couple other things as well, but we won't talk about.
I know one and the back office area we're pointing to is the personnel decision maker. I'm talking about the top 10 discussion. You definitely got a total disagreement on one person that I know.
I could be 2 out of 3 there.
Right. You're not unanimous.
But Luck is unanimous.
By the way, just for the record, this is all a numbers driven thing. You're not looking at the totality of his football skill. You're just sticking to the numbers.
I am, but I think the number that you cite more than anything is wins and losses. And I think as Gerard would know that there are many factors that go into wins and losses.
But the quarterback's got to make some winning plays for you.
Thank you. That's where I was going, Vic, cuz think about the totality of the man, Nathan, the guy. Say, so you know what, Ozzie Newsome? Keep your $60 million, because I'm worth more than that. And Joe Flacco
I like Joe Flacco.
See, that's the thing, though. He doesn't say much. But when he talks, you better listen, because what he did last year.
But you don't. Don't even pretend that you have any good. When you're not saying he's a top 10 guy, you're basically saying he's garbage. And deep down inside, and I hope you're right about this. I really do. I pray you're right about this. Deep down inside, you believe he'll actually be the reason the Browns come up with the upset.
You're banking on that this week.
Nathan is there. Nathan's already gone there. He sees the loss for the Ravens or the win for
Joe
the Browns.
Joe Flacco beat you.
You have sat here and you say that the quarterback makes the receivers, not the receivers make the quarterback. Yep. And Joe Flacco, for the first time in his career, is going to have to face a situation where I would say he has substandard talent at wide receiver. Hmm. And in the pass catching game, without Dennis Pitta, without Anquan Boldin, replacing them with Dallas Clark, Brandon Stokley, Ed Dixon, Marlon Brown. And if Joe Flacco comes out this year and has a monster year, that will prove me wrong. But right now, he's had one game. He threw the ball 62 times, averaged less than 6 yards an attempt.
I don't know if he has to have monster numbers.
I don't care about numbers.
Well, that's what monster year means. If they win and they're successful, he can be a part of that. Let's flip this to a Browns discussion.
Okay.
Brandon Whedon needs to be a playmaker for this team to have success.
Absolutely.
We're right now 0-1 on seeing that this year, and we didn't see enough of it last year, and that's what the judgment, Gerard, is right for this season for Whedon.
Oh, it's his audition. If he doesn't show up and show out, he's not going to have this position more likely next year. But here's the thing where it gets tough,
guys. But he doesn't have to make fantasy people smile with the numbers.
The number I was talking about is not a fantasy number. Your yards per attempt, Your yards per attempt is not a fantasy number. That's an efficiency number. That's a number that says how effective you were throwing the football.
Did you guys hear what Bernie said earlier? Because I know you did.
I did.
Yes.
And it was a great, great example when he talked about Steve Young being a bust, considered a bust in Tampa Bay with all that ability. But when he gets to the 49ers, he's surrounded by greatness. And an organization that had everything for him. What does he become? A Hall of Famer.
So then what is it? Is it what makes the quarterback? Is the quarterback
that good?
It's
a combination.
Well, it's a combination.
The quarterback's you still have to have that guy. He's in the Hall of Fame because he made plays and does stuff. You still have to make the plays. Your receivers will get you will elevate everything. It's like the rising tide lifts all boats, but that tide is what's driving that. The tidal wave starts with the quarterback.
Vic, last night when you watched Tom Brady, what were your thoughts as far as how he performed? Because he made the passes. The receivers just didn't make the plays.
He was Tom Brady for the most part. He did not.
He missed a couple of throws
about
that he should have made.
All right, but he, okay, Jesus.
He did.
But for the most part, Gerard, he played. He was exceptional. He was the guy giving that team any hope with substandard supporting cast. And by the way, his act of crying and yelling and all that was way overblown. I didn't like that at all, and I wish he hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. His frustration just came out too much.
Yep.
Knowing Brady,
he doesn't care.
And that, by the way, that's more of what the quarterback is. Just like Joe Flacco showing, you know what? I'm going to show you. You're going to pay me and show me the money.
Exactly.
And he did that. That's what that's attitude too, and that's part of what makes great quarterbacks. It's more than just analytics.
Analytics.
Jay Cutler's doing the same thing right now.
No, but his is different, though. When Jay Cutler does it, though, in a way in which you could make the argument, what's the difference between what Jay Cutler did and what Tom Brady did last night? And I say there's a difference because with Jay Cutler, it seems to be something. It's
I just meant with
personal,
the money. He's
seems...
doing what Flacco did. He didn't sign a contract right now.
I'm talking about as far as the whole
Oh, yeah, the demeanor. Yeah,
demeanor
I agree.
And
Tom
attitude.
Brady's earned it, yeah.
Gerard, talk about this chore of dealing with Ray Rice, the multiple threat that he is, and the whole defensive mindset of just handling that.
See, I think that's what you have to shut down first and foremost.
Of course, that's the whole key.
Because once you do that, because, again, what is he going to do to you out of the backfield? What is he going to do between the tackles and outside the tackle box? All those things. You want to, and it's hard to say this, it makes it sound like I'm agreeing with you, Nathan, but I'm really not, because I do think Joe Flacco's the truth. But, yeah, you want to make any offense one-dimensional, because once they're one-dimensional as a defensive coordinator, Ray Horton will tell you, hey, if I know what these guys are going to do and I can anticipate something, I can have a call in which they can't counter it, and I'm going to dominate. So, yeah, stop Ray Rice. Heck, stop Joe Flacco. But if you do stop Ray Rice, you take away the identity of this Baltimore Ravens team, which is they want to be tough and they want to be physical by first beating you up with the run.
And that's exactly the key. You need to take them away. You need Joe Hayden to do what he does against Torrey Smith. And then at the end of the day, the onus will be on Joe Flacco to beat the Cleveland Browns, throwing the football to Brandon Stokley, Dallas Clark, and Marlon Brown, an undrafted free agent, and two guys who are in their mid-30s and probably have, without question, have seen their best days. So,
well, let's add something to that, though, Nathan.
Yes.
We can't just – we have to put pressure on Flacco. We have to make him feel – the sky is literally falling, and that he's about to be caged. And if you're doing that with the pass rush, yes, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, anyone, everyone that plays a quarterback position, though great, will get flustered if they're under pressure and can't do what they've been born to do.
I'm 1,000% on that. Gerard Cherry joining us as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Gerard, you know, the whole mindset thing, if you heard earlier, Jameer Howerton sat down with Quentin Groves, and Quentin was talking about what the message was from Rob Chudzinski to the effect of, hey, it's about not, you know, it's about having fun still. It's about, you know, going about your business as you've gone about it. Got to go about it a lot better than you did last week, but basically not making it sound like a big hammer was being dropped on this, you know, entire team for what happened last week, and more along the lines of positive reinforcement response. What's your thought on that? I know you don't like that.
Yeah, I find a hard time really liking it, but I will say this. You don't want to take the fun out the game, but is there a way in which, and maybe Rob is doing this, in which he's marrying the idea of fun with the concept and notion of our fun is going out there and beating up the opponent, going out there and giving them a bloody nose and being the most physical football team, not making any mistakes and seeing what we're capable of doing with our skill set. Now, if he's selling fun in that regard, like, hey, that's my idea of fun for the Cleveland Browns, that we have dog and we're going to express that dog and we're more than a bark, but we have a bite, I can get down with that. I can go along with that. I can support that and be a main purporter of that type of approach. But if it's just simply, guys, it's okay, it's going to be all right, we let that one down, and, you know, there's always tomorrow, I can't deal with that. But I don't think he's saying that. I hope he's not saying that.
I hope he's not saying that as well. The one thing I have a question about, I understand how this team could slow down, let's say, the Baltimore Ravens on offense. I get it. I understand the path to doing that. I am having a tough time figuring out how the Browns are still going to score enough points to win this game on top of it. What do you see that the Browns are going to be able to do against this Ravens defense?
Good Lord. Just don't do what you did against the Dolphins, for starters.
Okay.
Let's begin
there. Good
place
to start.
That's a great place to start. And I'm watching the Ravens game, I'm saying to myself, this front seven for them is just as dynamic, if not more so, with Dumervil and Suggs than what you saw last week with the Dolphins. So right there, you have a concern. But if this offensive line can, again, control the trenches and just make Brandon Wheaton feel safe, because think about it, guys, right now, he has to be saying to himself, can I trust my offensive line? And that's one of the problems here. If you don't trust the guys in front of you, and I think we've seen this with Colt McCoy as well as Brandon Wheaton the previous year, you're going to get suspect quarterback play. So these guys are in the front are going to have to do a heck of a job protecting Brandon Wheaton. And granted, I think this was comes back to what you're saying, Vic, is that it's not always going to be a safe bubble pocket. You got to deal with the adversity and people in your face and getting across their body and trying to attack you. At the same time, though, this offense is going to go above and beyond, because right now I think to some degree you have a quarterback in place who doesn't trust his offensive line. So there, starting there.
Yeah, you know, and again, making plays, making good decisions. We had Rich Gannon on earlier. I thought he did an amazing breakdown. He's such a film junkie
right,
when it comes to studying, especially quarterbacks. And he's going to be on the broadcast of this game for CBS. He points out four mistakes just on the one interception to Travis Benjamin, which it offends the senses of a guy like Gannon, who's such a perfectionist
right,
and such a grinder when it comes to studying. But I think what he's also trying to say is, and this isn't, by the way, he wasn't concluding that Brandon Wheaton didn't study or didn't prepare sufficiently, but he is trying to say that you've got to, you know, that's how you deal with that, right? You've got, if anything, this week, preparing for this game, he had to go over and above.
Yes, and he does. And when we go back to that play with Benjamin, deep corner route, I'm saying to myself, Brandon has to get this point in place too, just understanding, because really it was a basic man, a man with a man in the middle. Cover one looked like what it was to me. A free safety in the middle, man-on-man coverage. And if you see a cornerback playing outside leverage, you can see that from your vantage point. You weren't under that much distress that you could not see that the cornerback's outside. You have to assume that he has outside leverage. Therefore, a corner route will not work because he's already outside on the corner. And he's bracketed with the safety in the middle. So things like that, man, he has to pick up, because granted, it didn't hurt us. To some degree, it may have hurt us from a morale standpoint. So, yeah, I'm with Rich in regards to that, just taking it to the next step, because he's going to have to. He's going to have to do something extra because of what he's working with right now until Josh Gordon gets back there.
All right, Gerard, thank you for the knowledge and the breakdown, and let's hope we can have a positive discussion about this team on Monday. Wouldn't that be nice?
I hope so, too. And I tell you what, guys, I miss those turkey sandwiches at the facility.
And we miss you at the facility.
We really do. You are going to be on with Hooley and Gerard. That's coming up after the show, so make sure everybody's tuning in for that at right around 3
p.m. I feel like
PM.
I'm going to have to go to Tomo Hibachi and Sushi just to see Gerard on a Saturday night or something. I feel like it's the only chance I got.
I agree, and just to hear the Tomo commercial.
Yeah, make sure you bring your sexy voice.
That's right.
All right. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Your calls. For Tomo, Sushi, and Hibachi.
216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_Daily. We'll get into calls and comments and questions next.